Right, so this is the workflow as usual, and the changes here are the SDB solver code here is changed to the dynamical solver. And the files you'll be talking to are based on those. So the bound files, project files will be reused when you run skydiving. And there's some helper functions were included in the skydiving runs. And so you don't have to edit that file. You just go. There are two more files in the GitLab repository where this file is. So they are like I think they're called dynamical test or something. So those files will each file will correspond to one of the model you want to use the skydiving on. Okay. And so let me first walk you through the most important bits in skydiving run. That is a set of parameters that the dynamical SDP that a C++ program takes. So those are the set of parameters that C++ takes. And here, this default dynamical config is the default configurations, choices of parameters that are consistent with the C++ default parameters. And so if you, you can, later on, you can just use this default config. And if you want to change things, you can change like individual items based on your choice. Okay. And
these parameters being put into SDPB?
The new solver that you like,
Yeah, so
yeah,
the skydiving.
it's a different solver.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a different solver.
Yeah.
Okay, and right. So the first parameters is just the step lengths we use to compute the derivatives, like gradients or Hessian, if you choose. So those are like with respect to the P space. Okay. So that's just a standard choice, choose to be small and compute the derivatives. And the splintering R threshold is this part, this much less than one part. So you put this a small number, and the R has to be smaller than that to terminate, to end the splintering iteration. Duality gap upper limit is this one, this part. Okay. And this chunk belongs to is a beta scans parameters belongs to the scanning routines, and it's beta scan minimum, which is where you start the scan. Maximum is this one here. It's like you don't have to choose it to be one, and the steps is how you increase. So it's equidistance increase each time, linear increase each time, and step min threshold and step max threshold. So those two thresholds are this yay and here. It's just threshold is too long to write to put in that box. So min comes here, max come there. And max climbing steps is how many times we allow it to climb up. And the beta climbing is this two here. You can set it to other values. Okay. And next chunk is the find boundary there. So whether you're in the minimization mode or the extremization mode. So if you are in the minimization mode, you don't have to change anything here. Like put in nothing, then the solver will go to the minimization point directly. And if instead you want to extremize, then you just put a vector here that specifies which direction you want to maximize extremize in. And there's so this object threshold depends on how close you want to get to the zero. Again, you don't have to put anything there. If you don't, they'll just terminate by some other conditions, like duality gap or something. Okay, and next, this primal dual objective weight is this lambda. And it's called this name exactly because the question you ask. It's interpreted between the two questions.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, that's lambda. And finally, this choice, so navigator with log determinant is meaning we are taking the values to be so if this is true, then we are taking the original Lagrangian. If this is true, then we are equating to finding the solutions to this equation. And gradient with log determinant true, meaning we are using the gradient of this function, like this function alone. If we turn it false, then we take the the log term away. Okay, so this is a place when you can change, like try all four different combinations. The bounding box are not yet implemented, I think, in the solver. At least I'm not realized it.
Oh, we never use them.
Yeah, so it's not implemented. It's just there for future reference if we want to change things. Okay, so that's all the parameter sets goes into the solver itself. And so the rest of this file, the skydiving runs, is just like reading input, outputs, everything standard, and you don't need to really worry about them. And then please go to this file called dynamical STP test. That's where we run skydiving on the Ising model. Okay, and at the very beginning is where you put your script. And the second function you have is called the dynamical STP bound loop. And so this is where we do, we iteratively call the dynamical STP, the C++ program. And this number of iterations is just how many times you, like the maximum amount, number of times you want to call the skydiving the dynamical solver. Okay, and the resolver parameters, I will show you what they are later. And then in this function, there's a part using this go function, so it's a local function. This is in general in Haskell how we write recursion. So the zero here is the number of iterations. So we I want to run 300 times. I want to run the dynamical solver for 300 times. Then it will go start from here, from n equals to 300, and at some point which I didn't print here, it's going to go again, but with n minus one, and the base case is when n equals to zero, when just output the p, output your external parameter without doing anything. So this chunk does what do you want to update for the next iteration. And so the first line here, read the output. So this is actual run of the calling the dynamical solver. And it outputs the dynamical STP output. And after that, within this output, we have a parameter called external param steps. And that's how you update your P parameters. That's the P prime. So for the next iteration. OK, those are just saving things into the database. And here, you can update your configurations depending on C. For example, you want the first 50 iterations to use exact Hessian and the rest to use BFGS Hessian. Then you can just put things like here. Here is the line I comment out. I updated say use exact Hessian when n less than 201. So that means I want to use BFGS for the first 100 iterations and use exact Hessian for the next 200 iterations.
I see. Yeah. So this is actually the same. This is the same config that the big config you showed right at the beginning.
So this is like your initial config, or it's like the config you used the last time.
Yeah. It's recursive.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, so if you want to change things in the middle, you can modify this function. And the actual program, so this is a function that's actually run a job in 3D in Ising, and this is a 3D search in sigma, epsilon, and theta. And so yeah, so here is your initial configuration. And so here, I use this default dynamical config. That's a default config defined in the other file, and I updated those few fields. And yeah, and then config. So dynamical SVB bound loop is the function I showed before, before this slide that calls. Calls the solver iteratively, and it requires a bound files, this config, and where you want to start in the P space. And the Ising navigator bound is what we used in the bound, in the Ising six, within the scalar 3D and under the bounds directory, we had that files that we saw yesterday, or the ones that run the Isings, and we reuse those functions from there. Okay, and so so from here you can see like the dynamical SDP GitLab depends on the scalar 3D and fermion 3D, and that makes things easier. Like we can this GitLab is really not changing input from there a lot. It's just reuse a huge chunk of it. Okay, and so this part are really standard, like very similar to what's been written in the project files. So this is finding the minimum, and when we want to find the zero or the boundary, it just specify which direction you want to extremize in, and that's it. That's the only changes you need to make. Okay, so I hope that's minimal changes, and so at that after this you can go to the very bottom of this file that you get the bound program names, and that I believe I named everything exactly the same as the function name. So then you can just go to the terminal and run the program. And so although I keep a database, but the most straightforward solver informations, how many iterations we had and the magnitude of a gap, and what's the value of the external parameters, can all be retrieved from the log files. So the parser for the dynamical SDP is actually just using the log file instead of the database. And so I uploaded helped me to upload this mathematical notebook. Excuse me. Of course, parse Hyperion log. So that includes the function you need. And if you run all the initialization seal and just go through this part to put in. So this output text imports, this is the log file. You download the log file and put the path here. And just go through the lines line by line, and here you can save your the text format. But at the end, this is the important part. This run output point and run output are the two variables we're going to use to plot print out the steps and to draw diagrams or figures. Okay, so for example, this one, this one just print out the steps and how many iterations at each step, and the duality gap and where the parameters are at the current stage. And you can go below. At the end, you can see the duality gap is decreasing a lot. Actually, here it's kind of stabilized. Yeah. Okay. And you can print the path and plot the path. And yeah, so that's easy, hopefully. Yeah, so I have a very short tutorial today. I'd say with the dynamic SDP GitLab's, I hope is that it's easy to change the parameters and so that you can try different setups. So the fact is, although again we try to design a program that works for all scenario, but the choice of parameters can depends on like the model you're looking at, like how many dimensions. The problem does tend to be harder and harder when you grow the dimensions. So when you run into troubles, you might want to make well-motivated changes to those parameters. Yeah. Questions? Probably not. Okay. Questions? That's all. Yeah. Okay.
This is beautiful.
Thank you.